Hello, everybody. Frank Vespi from the Racing Biz here on the Off to the Races podcast on the Racing Biz Radio. We're going to be looking at the Breeders' Cup Friday and Saturday here in our short podcast, and we have an august group to join us for this conversation. First off, we got all the way from beautiful Bensalem, Pennsylvania, right near Parks, Linda Dougherty. Hey, Linda.
Hi, Frank.
Is Bensalem just as beautiful as I just advertised it?
Oh, it's just great.
And then going the other way from lovely Richmond, Virginia, the one and only Derby Bill Watson. Derby Bill, how are you?
Oh, the home of the brand new OTB, hottest OTB in the business, Richmond, Virginia.
Were you out there for opening day?
Actually, it was the wife's birthday, so I had to attend a all-you-can-eat endless shrimp fest.
Ah, well, that seems like it probably worked out, too.
Yes, but it's open and it's doing well so far. I hear absolutely packed today, so people, I guess, pre-betting the Breeders' Cup.
Oh, yeah, I would imagine if it's packed today, it's going to be a zoo tomorrow and Saturday. So that's good news for our many friends in Virginia.
Yes,
and
it is.
Finally,
we're long suffering down here.
Yes, you are. And then finally, a man calling in from the road, the author of the eponymous GQ Approach, GQ himself, Gary Quill. How goes?
Good evening. And I'm about to pass Maryland's newest OTB up in Perryville. So, touche, Derbyville.
Hey, they could put one on every corner if I had something to do with it.
And if there were more Derby Bills out there.
Right, yeah.
So what we're going to do here today is we're going to talk about the focus on the distaff and the classic, and then I'm going to turn you guys loose to talk about pretty much anything else on the 2 days of racing that you want to talk about. But let's start with the distaff, which is the highlight of Friday's card, the $2 million Breeders' Cup distaff, mile and an eighth on the main track at Santa Anita. And this is a race that is so unbelievably good and deep that I'm a chatterbox who is a three-time grade one winner, has made $2.2 million in her career, and has been favored in just about every race of her career, is 12-1 on the morning line. So this is about as good as a race as you're ever going to see, I think. Linda Dougherty, why don't we start with you in the ladies' first vein. What do you think about the Breeders' Cup distaff tomorrow?
Well, in keeping with the Virginia theme, I thought that I'm going to go with Stellar Wind. And the reason I am is I'm not I think Songbirch is going to bust out of that inside post and just try to wire them. But I think Stellar Wind and Beholder might have an edge on Songbird. I really think Stellar Wind, she's been lately raced this year. And I just think that she may just run down Songbird in the lane. So, and also, I don't really like, I don't like Songbird's going to be hammered. She'd probably go off at even money or less. She's 65 on the morning line. So that's, and I remember last year we talked about Stellar Wind and broke her maiden right at Laurel and always kind of rooted for her. She's only run one bad race in her whole life, and she's always been first or second. So if you play her across the board, it seems like a pretty good bet.
Yeah, and she ran a great race in this event a year ago to lose by a neck to Stop Charging Maria. Bill, where are you? Are you also on Stellar Wind to support the Virginia Breds, or are you looking elsewhere in this race?
Yeah, I should be on the Stellar Wind, being the loyal Marylander I am, living in Virginia. But the Virginia bred, Curlin Breadline, I mean, this horse is fabulous, has beaten everything but a Songbird. I mean, this horse is dangerous up front, and will be running his heart out up front, her heart out up front. But I think she gets past late in this race. Sorry, Linda. In the words, in the immortal words of Donald Trump, wrong.
I thought you were going to fire her.
No, don't have that authority. And I'm not a political guy at all, except when it comes to idiot horse race track owners. Then I get political. Stellar Wynn, I'm not going to use her on top here. She could win the race up front and just steal it. But Songbird's unbeatable here. I think 4-5 by post time or less, as Linda said, could go down to 3-5. 11-11. I mean, this is like the Chicago Cubs of racing today. I mean, this is the 12th win here without any holes in this horse. This horse just coasts everywhere. So I really don't think Stellar Wynn should worry about getting out to the lead like she will. And Beholder will battle Stellar Wynn. And I see Songbird just coming by easily late. And I'm using Amon Chatterbox. Like you, as you said, Frank, 12-1 is too much value here for the sprinter. He could run away and try this at this distance. It's perfect for Amon Chatterbox to pass a tiring Stellar Wynn and Beholder. I mean, as Linda said, Stellar Wynn's well rested, but so are the rest of them. I'm using Songbird on top, and I'm a Chatterbox, and 12-1, and you know, use both of them in the pick four. And the they have the distaffed and the classic Daily Double, so I'm gonna use Songbird and I'm a Chatterbox in the distaffed classic double.
All right, there's Derby Bill, and you're not kidding about Songbird. Her closest margin of victory in her career is 3 3/4 lengths, which is pretty much destroying all of her opposition. So we've got Songbird and we've got Stellar Wynn. GQ, do you want to take up for anyone else here?
I am going to make it a 2-1, and to make it a fair fight, I think I need to be on Linda's side in order for us to be able to have a chance against Derby Bill. So
wrong.
I'm going to go. I'm going Stellar Wynn, and I don't know what I'm going to throw you under the bus, Bill. I don't know what PCs you've been looking at, but maybe just Stellar Wynn's last few races. But I'm looking at this as a Beholder and Songbird going out there setting the pace, and Stellar Wynn being in the catbird seat, just waiting to pounce. I don't know. I everybody can chime in on this. I can't believe I'm admitting this. I must really be an idiot for not backing Songbird. But then again, maybe I should, and everybody else will profit who isn't going out there, because the minute I put money on her, I'm sure she'll lose. Here's my problem with Songbird. This is the first time she's facing others than her own age. She's been feasting on three-year-olds her entire campaign. Okay, she didn't go up against the best, I guess, not her fault, in the Oaks. I'm not saying by any stretch that she has chinks in her armor, but you got to look at this kind of stuff when you're looking to beat a 6-5 morning line favorite who probably will be bet down under even money. And it's just ironic that the darling of past Breeders' Cups, the Holder, is one who is probably the odd mare out because of Stellar Wynn beating her the last couple times, and it looks like the Holder isn't, you know, on top of a game or whatever. And just a couple months ago, they were talking about the Holder running in the Classic, and now people are talking about the Holder's, you know, maybe hitting the board in the distance. So I'm looking at this as if Songbird's going to get beat, it's going to be won because of somebody's going to have the guts to go and run with her early, and it's going to be Beholder or one of the others. Definitely isn't going to be Stellar Wynn. Stellar Wynn might be, you know, in second flight, but, you know, that's the scenario I'm seeing. And you know what? The songbird's the real deal, and she'll just put away the holder turning for home, and Stellar Wind won't be able to catch her. But I see Stellar Wind getting the best trip based on the pay scenario. And for somebody who's not even being talked about, I think Forever Unbridled has a shot to hit the exacta or the trifecta. So that's my 2 cents worth.
So we got a couple Stellar Winds. We've got a Songbird here. And I did, Gary, you pointed to something there with Forever Unbridled that I think is a little interesting. Two facts about her that I think are interesting. One, she's one of only three horses here that has multiple wins at the distance. She's won a couple times. Nobody has won more than a couple times. I thought that was – it's a little bit interesting. But I think the pace scenario is the other interesting thing, because it looks to me like, you know, Stellar Wind has done her best running right up on a pace. Her last couple starts pressing the pace. Carolina does her best running pressing the pace. Songbird's going to probably have to go from the rail. I'm a Chatterbox's recent races are in the lead or pressing the pace. Beholders, it looks to me like there's a whole bunch of horses that all want to be in the same spot there in first or second, which may well advantage a horse like Forever Unbridled. What do you guys think about that?
Ladies first.
Oh, okay.
Anyone?
Yeah.
Bueller.
I totally agree. If the pace does fall apart in this race, I think Forever Unbridled and Dallas Stewart, when you want to talk about somebody coming home with long shots and big races, he's the guy. And this filly could very well swallow them all up at the, you know, inside the eighth pole. But I think that the speed in here is quality speed. I don't really foresee the top three really faltering bad enough to let Forever Unbridled win. But, you know, maybe if you want to use her in an exacta, that, you know, you may make some money because she will go off at a price.
Yeah, she may end up, she won't be the longest shot because the Argentinian horse will be, but she might be the second longest shot here. So there we have, and Landover Sea, of course, but there we have it, Stellar Wind, 2 votes for Stellar Wind, a Songbird, and a little bit of love as a long shot type play for Forever Unbridled. That is the Breeders' Cup Distaff. That is the key race or the feature on Friday. On Saturday, the feature is the big one, the $6 million Breeders' Cup Classic, 1.25 miles on the main track. And it's going to be an interesting battle. California Chrome, who is now the winningest thoroughbred in American history, $13 million, is certainly going to be the favorite. And the question is going to be, what do you make of Arrowgate in this spot? And what do you make of that Travers, which was just freakish? Anyway, that's the question, and this is the panel to answer it. Derby Bill Watson, Linda Dougherty, Gary Quill. Let's continue our ladies' first venture. Linda, what are you thinking about the Breeders' Cup Classic?
Well, speaking of the pace, in this race, I do think if California Chrome, Arrogate, I think he's going to keep him company on the front end. If you watch California Chrome's last couple of races, he's pretty much controlled things on the front end. But I think Arrogate and California Chrome may go out here to the detriment of both of them. And I was looking for a horse that could be capable of upsetting, and it's a little hard to find one, but I thought that maybe FNX, I mean, there's a horse who really tries in every race. He may not always win. He's always right in there and abouts, and he doesn't need the lead. I just thought maybe at 15-1, he might be worth taking a shot. He's getting in. Mike Smith is not riding him today, but he's got Flavian Pratt. And Jimmy Jerkins, there's an interesting stat that he's a 33% trainer, the second off the layoff. And he's also the rail post that Santa Anita's winning nearly 23% of the time. So I just thought maybe FNX, I'm probably not going to bet this race because California Chrome and Arrogate are going to be the two heavy favorites, but FNX is certainly you know, one you could use underneath, if not to even a small win bet on him.
Three wins at the trip as well, which is, you know, something to consider in this spot. So, Linda, you're not going to take up for the Parks Racing-based war story, I take
it. No, but I saw his trainer or his owner was on Express Bet. He was being interviewed today, and he guaranteed this horse would finish in the money.
Wow. So
that, yep.
Of course, his owner is also the same guy who put the mediocre filly in the Preakness a couple years ago. So,
yeah,
possibly not the most objective or insightful source. Derby Bill, what do you think? Is it FNX?
FNX. I like FNX in the Superfecta box. He's worth 10-cent box. For a 240, huge payola. I might have to hit the ATM to pay for that super. Love the 10-cent superfecta in this race. It's the only way to get to score big with an upset of California Chrome here, which would make Songbird my horse of the year. A filly winning horse of the year. If Songbird wins the Distaff and California Chrome doesn't win this race, I think Songbird's got a chance for Horse of the Year. And I'm going to upset California Chrome Arrogate. Love the name. Love the name. Two for two at Santa Anita. Ran a mile and a quarter race, mile and an eighth out there in the Travers. My goodness. Ran into the gate, came out of the gate like you did tonight, Frank. Frank came out a little hard out of the gate for the show today.
Yeah, a little tardy leaving the gate here.
I mean, you hit a gate and then you beat the field by 15 lengths or something. I mean, that's incredible. Five race career also. This horse is not even peaked at all. This horse, if he continues racing, will be a monster as a older horse. Well rested, fastest horse all time at the Travers in what, 37 years? He broke every. I mean, how many horses, great horses, have won the Travers? And this horse beat all the records since the last 37 years, I read somewhere. Frosted, 14 out of 18 in the top three. So I'm moving California Chrome down and using Arrogate Frosted for a major late run. And California Chrome just tiring at the end and FNX fourth. So 10-2-4-1 if anybody's writing down some 10-cent superfectas.
10-2-4-1. So, Arrogate to get the money, says Derby Bill. So, what do you say? You obviously think that that just freakish, spectacular Travers performance is just kind of a sign of things to come for this horse.
Yeah, he hasn't reached his potential. This horse is rivaling America Vero last year. This horse is. You know, Baffert knows what he's doing. Man, you can't deny the prince of American racing, you know, takes care of his horses. And this one, he's been targeting this race as the end of a $3 million, $3 million pick four.
So there we have, we got an FNX, we got an Arrogate. Gary Quill, any interest in taking up for the favorite here, California Chrome?
The only way I take off for him is the fact that I've seen the video of him on the track, and he looks like $1 million. But it's not going to be as easy as his past races have been. He's going to have company on the front end. Maybe not Arrogate, but certainly possibly Melatonin. Again, pace scenario is going to, I believe, set up for something that's coming off the pace. And Linda's got it half right. as far as the trainer goes, I'm on a Jimmy Jerkins horse by the name of Shaman Ghost, 20-1 morning line. Where's the bell? Ding, ding. Here's why. The horse is a comer. You know, he just He's not going to back up. And you look at his past performances, whether he's running on synthetic, or turf, or dirt, whatever, the horse just keeps coming after you. And what I like particularly about this is that I did a little dissecting of these past performances. And you look, he won the Grade 1 Woodward by a head over Frosted and Mutai, you know, the horse from Mutai-ish. Over, yeah, Mutai-ish. That was the first time he was on Lasix. That was his 12th career start. Why was that time he was on Lasix? Well, look at the Suburban, the worst race he had ever run, the only race that he didn't gain ground in the stretch. Do you think he may have bled in that race? So I'm making a ton of excuses for this horse, okay? I could care less that Castellano is riding, Keen Ice, who rode him to the Woodward win. I could care less that Joel Rosario is sticking to Frosted. Joel rode this horse in the Grade 2 Brooklyn to a 4.25 length win, going a mile and a half. Those guys, it's political who they ride. I highly doubt that JC is not going to ride Keen Ice for Pletcher, and Rosario isn't the star stud who left California to woo everybody. I think he's the most overrated jockey in the country, but let's not go off topic. he's going to stay where the money is. Kieran McLaughlin and Godolphin. So who picks up the mount? Certainly isn't some apprentice. It's only the best jockey going in the country right now, Irad Ortiz Jr., who, by the way, rides in New York. Who, where does Jimmy Jerkins train from? New York. So if I sold you on Shaman Ghost, I also have some land east of Ocean City, Maryland, I'd like to sell you. but that's my case, and that's how I came up with the huge upset in Shaman Ghost getting to the wire as the others gasp for breath on a track that I understand hasn't been as speed favoring as Santa Anita Freeway typically is.
Interesting. So we've got two long shots here. We've got FNX and Shaman Ghost. Derby Bill, a more conventional choice in Arrowgate, although he bumps California Chrome all the way down the third here. Certainly, it should be an interesting race. And the pace scenario, as you all alluded to, is a really interesting one here because you've got a couple of horses. I mean, you've got a horse like Frosted. Where is he going to be in this race? You know, he rallied to win the Met Mile, but he was on the lead throughout the Whitney, and then he had all sorts of issues at the start in the Woodward, which left him with some work to do. So, you know, where are they going to put him? And obviously California Chrome, Melatonin, Arrowgate. There's a bunch of horses here. It's another race where you may have a pretty lively pace and a square opportunity for horses to make a run into it, as a couple of you have backed here. Now we're going to kind of go into the free-for-all section of the program here. You are listening to the Off to the Races podcast on the Racing Biz Radio. And kind of just ask you guys for anything else you're looking for this weekend, a long shot, your top selection, maybe a multi-race wager you want to play, kind of anything else that you're looking at. Linda, why don't we start with you?
Oh, great. Yeah, I was waiting for the free-for-all. Because
Linda?
Yeah, can you hear me? Frank?
Yeah, Frank. Sorry. We had an issue here.
Oh. All right. Well, there is one race that I am actually salivating about. I had a lot of success this summer betting Chad Brown, and especially when Chad Brown has more than one horse in a race. He very often has the exacta. So one of my main bets for the 2-day Breeders' Cup is tomorrow, the Juvenile Fillies Turf, which is the 8th race. And Brown has Rimska in here. She's 20-1 on the morning line, first time Lasix. And then he has New Money Honey, who is more, is a lower odds. But where you can really make money with Chad Brown is that you box his horses, in which I'm going to box New Money Honey and Rimska, and also going to bet Rimska to win. And what I really like about her, that not only is she I don't know who made this line, but at 20-1, she's got Irad Ortiz. She first time Lasix, and she's won going a mile. And she started her career in France and won two stakes in France before coming over here. And Chad Brown's record with horses, not only first time Lasix, but the first time starting for him is pretty good. So that's my long shot special, I guess, for the week. So it's Rimska in the 8th, who I really like.
Well, it's sort of interesting. You point out that she has one going a mile, and she was just second to New Money Honey last out in the Miss Grillo. And that was going a mile and 16th over yielding ground. So she may appreciate the cutback in distance to a flat mile in Friday's Juvenile Fillies Turf. All right, that's Linda Doherty, who gives us Rimska and New Money Honey. And if that comes in, if that exacta comes in, that is going to pay boxcars, because you got a 10-1 and a 20-1 there, Linda. So I hope you got the wheelbarrow ready to carry your money around.
Yeah, I can't wait.
Derby Bill, what about you? What are you looking at this weekend?
Well, I like Free for All from Ted Nugent, too. I really, really like Linda's upset picks here, but Linda and Gary must have a Saratoga cash bankroll for Ortiz. He's 20-1 shots with Ortiz riding. Seems like these guys watch Saratoga too much to me. I mean, that guy, he was Mr. Saratoga this year, both Ortiz brothers, so I'm not sure how they do. I've been doing it at Belmont as much, because I've been following the a couple other tracks since Saratoga, but man, Ortiz is tough. But 20-1 seems like he'd get a better horse than there, but out in California, who knows? It might be political, like Gary mentioned. I'm going with the pick four. You know, the 50-cent pick four is 1.5 million Friday. The pick four Saturday is 3.0 million guaranteed. So those are two nice 50-cent shots you can throw about. Several horses in the mix, and if you use Gary or Linda's horse in the pick four and that thing comes in, my goodness, we could be talking IRS invading your house immediately. But I'm going with the Friday pick four here, so I can get Gary some tickets to the senior golf tour for Sunday if his horse doesn't win. If Ghost doesn't win that race, I'll send him down to the senior golf tour here in Richmond this weekend, Sunday, so he can get away from it all. Everybody needs a break after the Breeders' Cup. But I'm going with the 50-cent play, races 6-9 all on NBCSN. So I don't know how you want me to break it down. You just want the winner of the race?
No, you can give us how you're going to play it.
Yeah, all right, playing it. Get your pens ready. Make fun
all,
of this one.
All.
That was perfect. Very nice.
Songbird, right?
Yeah, that might work. That might be the play. That is part of my play. I'm playing Intelligent Cross in the first one. Eight. Here we go. 50-cent. It costs you only $13.50 for my play. 8, 11, 14 with 7, 9, 3 with 4, 1, 7 with the Songbird, number one. Cost you $13.50. I mean, if you can't afford $13.50, I'll have to send you a gift card to somewhere. We'll get you some Laurel Racetrack club seats.
I see that you land on another Chad Brown horse in the juvenile turf there, Ticonderoga, the 14, who is 15-1 in the morning line. So we're
one thing about
the Breeders' Cup, it's the only place where you're going to find guys like Chad Brown and Bob Baffert sending out horses that are 15-1 in stakes races.
Mm-hmm.
Bill, are any of those apparently the one you feel really strongly about is Songbird in the give me the seventh race again. Was that 793?
793.
Okay.
That would
so
be
Dortmund.
Run happy with the major comeback upset.
Okay. And then Dortmund and Gunrunner just in case.
Yeah,
and
the
then,
Dirt Mile set. And Spainberg in the Breeders. Spainberg, I was eating a hamburger when I made that selection. So I thought it was Spainberger when I wrote it down.
Is that how you make those wagers? Now we know.
Sometimes they work.
All right, 13:50 on a 50-cent pick four, races 6-9 on Friday on the card highlighted by the Breeders' Cup Distaff. And finally, GQ, what are you? What's got you revved up for the weekend?
Oh, I just want to have one winner. You know, Frank, you got to put the bar low, you know.
Understood. And if it happens to be in the third race of 5,000 never win two at Laurel, that's good enough, right?
Hey, man. $2 to win on a 5-1 pays the same, regardless of what the track is and whatever the conditions are. So, you know, that's why I love my Maryland. Hey, I actually love Derby Bills, at least the way he plays the pick four. Obviously, regardless of who wins these races, unless it's chalk, it's going to pay huge. So, you know, if you take a shot any particular day, today's the day because you'll be paid handsomely. And I'm assuming they have rolling doubles too. I'm sure even the doubles are going to pay huge. All you need is one price. And on Breeders' Cup, it's hard to say an 8-1 morning line is a long shot because of just the talent that's in here. But I like the pick threes and the pick fours. I honestly came up with a lot of decent prices as far as the one chalk on the 2-day cards that I would just say, yeah, I'd be confident singling would be on Saturday in the sixth race. I don't even know what I'm looking through my papers to see what
that would be. AP Indian.
Yeah. Well, that's not who I would be singling, but I, yeah, the sprint, you know, he's had defection. Lord Nelson had to be scratched based on a injury that he sustained today. A couple days ago, Joking was left out. My numbers just say Masochistic, you know, the seven.
Masochistic.
Yeah, he's. You know, 2-1 morning line, and the numbers just add up for him. I hate to single chalk because you're in the same boat with everybody else. But as far as, you know, somebody who I really like, that's who I really like. Other than that, I have prices left and right. The one that I'm kind of excited about is the 10th race. Which is the Philly Mare Sprint, I believe. Am I correct, Frank?
10th race on Saturday.
Yeah.
It's the Philly Mare Sprint, yes.
Philly Mare Sprint. I actually like an 8-1, the 3-horse Terrace Tango. And the reason why is just the company. I mean, you look at that last race, it was the first time out. This is a Zenyatta, the grade one Zenyatta, going a mile and a 16th. She used to go in two turns or whatever, but she was in there with Stellar Wind, Beholder, and Vale Dory, who just lost the other day at Santa Anita. She ran fourth behind those three, going a mile and a 16th. And two back, she ran third, three back, she ran third to Forever Unbridled. So she's been facing some stiff competition, and the seven furlongs, putting back the seven furlongs, I think is going to be right in her wheelhouse. You know, she's at home at Santa Anita, six times out of eight starts in the money at Santa Anita. She's yet to win from two times going seven furlongs, but she's been on the board a place in a show. So I think as far as a value play, if you get 8-1 on her, go to the windows. So they're the two horses that I like to put most as far as your chalk and maybe a bit of a price, but I'm just going to see how the day goes. I might go, Bill's Route. I like the fact of the 50-cent pick fours. If I can throw in, I usually like to put anywhere from 15 to 20 bucks into a ticket. But on a day like today, you hate to feel like you're going cheap, because it could cost you, a couple bucks could cost you a couple thousand. So, it's a great weekend for racing. In a way, the best part about it for us on the East Coast is that the races get started late tomorrow. On Friday. Also on Saturday, we can check out the local races, on the East Coast, and then take care of business with the Breeders' Cup. So I really think that this staff on Friday may outshine the Classic, if that's possible, as far as the competitiveness. But I'm just looking forward to good races, clean trips for everybody, and hopefully a few cashing tickets on my part.
All right, so there we have it. We've got Gary Quill offering up Masochistic in the sprint, Terrace Tango in the Filly and Mare sprint as the horses he's excited about. Linda Doherty gave us a Chad Brown Exacta in the Juvenile Fillies Turf on Friday. And Derby Bill gave us the 50-cent pick four races 6-9 on Friday, culminating with the Breeders' Cup Distaff. Linda, Gary, Bill, thank you so much for being a part of this year's Breeders' Cup podcast.
Hopefully we can shoot for the DeFrancis Dash and cover that for Gary, as he's got Maryland through his blood and Old Bay in his veins.
That sounds good. We'll be back.
Yeah, thanks, Frank.
All right. Thank you all.